Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Dallas Stevens.
As you have, we've talked about already, Pastor Josh and his family are not here this morning, so they're off being refreshed this morning. I think spending some time with Jamie's family. I'm not positive about that, but be in prayer for them. Pray the Lord would be with them. And so today, you get me. It's been a few minutes since I've been up here, maybe 10 or so. But excited to get to share the word with you this morning. Today, we're going to be talking about spirit and truth. Let's just start with this scripture from John chapter 4. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And if you know the context of this scripture, this is Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. If you know anything about that situation, it was a very, very particular situation. By the time it was all over, the Lord has spoken into this woman's life, and she went and told her whole entire village, and they came, and they were all saved, and they all became followers of Jesus. And so that's part of the context of where we're going there. But today we're mostly going to be talking about worship and what worship looks like. I just want to warn you, if you need to get your steel-toe boots on, please do so. I have my own steel-toe boots on. A lot of this I'm talking to myself. I find that the way the Lord speaks to me when I teach is that usually it's something that I need to work on personally, and it allows me to be able to share that and to bring that to you guys. Let's just jump into it. I was telling the worship team this morning that today is either going to be really long or really short. If it's really long, you guys can send me some hate mail. Send that to Josh at thewaylvk.com. But no, seriously, I don't want to belabor anything, but I've got a lot to get through, and so we're going to kind of move quickly during this first section. What is worship? If you look at the Greek word, there's a Greek word called proskuneo, or proskuneo. It has a few different layers of meaning. I'm just going to kind of blow through this and kind of lay some foundation. It means to prostrate one's before the Lord, to lay flat on one's face, to adore lovingly, to deeply and respectfully, to kiss hands toward. Here's the deal. It's like mostly in the Western culture, especially we can become uncomfortable with public displays of affection, right? But we serve a God who has openly and publicly displayed his affection for us. So just put a pin in that, note that, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. The bias that we have about those things is not something that was from the Lord, but it's part of our culture that we culturally created. Not one that we've learned from the scripture or the Holy Spirit. But what worship is about a heart posture. Having ourselves in proper relationship with Jesus. If you look in Luke chapter 7, I think I have this up here. I'm just going to blow through it. So Gabe, if you can keep up, keep up. If not, I totally understand. Then in 44, let's just skip to the end. Start at 44. This is about the woman who was under the table and was anointing Jesus' feet. So he talks to Simon. He says, then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven a little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And this woman had a heart posture towards the Lord that was willing to give everything, willing to put everything on the line, regardless of what people thought about her, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of her station in life, her socioeconomic status. She had a heart posture that was, Lord, I'm here to serve you. I bow my heart before you. Which brings us to the word shakah. It's a Hebrew word that simply means to bow down. And in the Hebrew, the most commonly translated word for worship is shakah. The man, I'm going to look at this scripture, Genesis 24, 26. Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. I love this scripture because it kind of doubles down on the bowing down. It literally says, the man bowed down before the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord. In that same manner, our worship is a bowing down before the Lord. It's a demonstration of the Lordship. And we put ourselves in that proper relationship with Jesus, where he is, just as I mentioned earlier in the song we're singing, he's the leader and we're the follower. Moving quickly through to Philippians 2:9, therefore God exalted him highest to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee shall bow. We shall all bow before the Lord, whether it be now or whether it be in the end when we are forced to. I hope for myself that I would be willing and open to bow my heart before Jesus before I'm made to. I want to be able to make that choice to say, Lord, I choose to put you as Lord in my life. I choose to put myself in the right heart posture before you. There's an author that wrote this book called How to Worship a King, one of my favorite books about worship and about our heart posture. It says this: we cannot expect God to submit his culture to ours. Let that sink in for just a second. If there's any hope for our civilization, we must submit our culture to his. We have a culture that says, I am the leader, and I'm number one, and I'm going to do everything that I can do for me, and to make myself look good, and to make my way the right way. But that's what our culture says. Look out for number one, those kind of things. But what the culture, what God's culture says, is that we are in relation to him with a heart that is bowed unto him. Okay, so are you hanging with me? I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot. I promise it's going to pay off. All right, so we talked a little bit about what, and we could talk about that for a long time, but for the sake of us not being here till 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to just kind of leave it at that. Why do we worship? And this is normally where I stop and ask questions and ask people to just, but we're just gonna move right through it. First off, he's deserving. He's deserving of our worship because of his character, because of his actions. He is God and we are not. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason is that's why we were created. We were created to worship the Lord. Isaiah 43:7 speaks to that. Third, this one's hard for some of us. We are commanded to worship. I know that's a lot. It's hard to hear. We're commanded to worship. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we can hear about that. And then fourth, God wants you, okay? We worship to put ourselves in relationship with Jesus. We worship so that we become in the right heart posture and right relationship with Jesus. When I was younger, I used to think, man, I mean, I love worshiping you, Lord, but it's, what? Why do we got to do all that? I always felt like God was like this egomaniacal thing. Ah, worship me because I'm awesome. But that's not what it's about, right? It's about that he wants you, not your worship. So if you go back to our beginning scripture from the very, very beginning and what we're looking at all this time, Let's read through it real quick. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. If you notice what it says, it does not say the Father is looking for worship. It says the Father is looking for those. He wants to draw his children to him. It's not that he wants our worship. He doesn't need our worship. He's God regardless of whether I worship him or not. And if I don't, Scripture tells us, what's it tell us? The rocks will cry out anyway. So he doesn't even need me to worship, but he desires my heart. He desires that I would be in relationship with him. He desires that you would be in relationship with him. And the way we do that is through our worship. God is seeking those who worship him, not their worship. All right, so let's get to worshiping in spirit and truth. When you hear those two things, well, first off, let's talk about this. The context of what was going on there in that scripture, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, she is a Samaritan woman. Because we know the time of day this is happening, we know from the context that she's most likely a woman of ill repute. Otherwise, she would have been hanging out with all the other moms and sisters that would come early in the day when it was cooler. But this is in the heat of the day, so she's kind of trying to do it when no one else is there. But the Lord encounters her, and so they're talking back and forth. From what we know in the context, she's asking him. She talks about her ancestors worshiping over on this mountain over here, but the Jews worship in Jerusalem, and so they're just kind of having a discussion. And the Lord says to her, like, there's a time coming, and really it's actually here right now, that none of that matters. That it doesn't matter what mountain you go to worship. It doesn't matter if you're Samaritan or if you're Jew. It doesn't matter. What matters is the position of your heart. And so that's when he's talking about in spirit and in truth, it's at that time where that, what's the word I'm looking for? The construct of going just to a place to worship is changed forever. He says that's not really what it's about. It's about worshiping here and in here. It doesn't matter where you go to worship. Okay, so moving forward with that information, worshiping in truth. When I say worshiping in truth, what is that? What is that? What does that stir up in you? What do you think about that? This is the question answer time. Okay, good. Yeah. Scripture. Bingo. Worshiping in truth is being aligned with God's word. It reminds us that there is an objective standard. Like this is true. This is for free. This is a side note. Something I cannot stand at all is this whole concept of, well, that's my truth. That's my truth. I'm going to speak my truth. There's no such thing as my truth. Truth does not have a qualifier. You can't be truthier. It can't be more true. It's just truth. Truth is truth. It's an objective standard. And so there's no such thing as my truth. There's just truth. All right. You can clip that and put it online if you want. There's an objective standard to Scripture. Our worship should reflect the reality of who God is and what he's done, but ensuring that it's doctrinally sound and it is in line with what the Scriptures say, and it's biblically informed. And that brings us to that our worship should be informed by the Scripture. Engaging with God's word in the Bible and understanding his teachings is crucial. It's so important for worshiping in truth. And it shapes our understanding of who God is. Objectively, not my truth. Not subjectively, No, it's objective. God's truth is truth. All right. Worshiping in spirit. Just side note, I've got a lot of charismatic in me, a little Pentecostal, so that is normal for me. I grew up being the worshiping spirit guy. That was my thing. What I missed along the way was really digging into scripture and worshiping in truth. And so I've had to learn that later in life and learn that it's important for the scriptures to inform my worship. So let's talk about worshiping in spirit. First, worshiping in spirit involves our inner man. It involves the soul part of us. It involves connecting with God from the inside, from our heart, from in our inner self. It emphasizes authenticity in our relationship with the Lord. It's also emotional. Don't freak out on me, okay? Don't freak out on me. God created us as emotional beings, all right? There is a reason that we have emotions. We're not robotic, we're robots. And so it's important to allow our emotions to be incorporated in our worship. Now, be careful. We don't want to let our emotions drive everything. It's crazy, all right? That could get like wild and just crazy. We don't, that's where you start getting into my truth, right? But it is important to allow the things that our inner man feels, the things that drive who we are, our passions, our things that give us excited, that if we are in a difficult time, it's okay. If you look at the Psalms, David is all over the place. He's crazy. He's like, I feel like the lowest dirt right now, but regardless of that, I praise you, Lord. Or sometimes he's angry and he says some crazy stuff, but he always comes back to what the Lord wants. And so it's okay to let our emotions be a part of that, but we have to let them be informed by the truth. And finally, worshiping in spirit involves being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. As carriers, as followers of Jesus, we're all carriers of the Holy Spirit, right? When we gave our life to Jesus, we became regenerated, and the Lord lives inside us, right? You can say yes, it's true. Okay. And so we are filled with the Holy Spirit, but that does not guarantee, we're enabled to do that, but it's not a guarantee that we'll do it. True worship requires intentionality and focus. We must worship in spirit. We want to connect on a spirit level with God. What's it say in the scripture? Says, for God is spirit. For those who worship him must worship him in truth only. Right? No. It says, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so to worship God in spirit, we have to let our spirit connect with his. And that can be terrifying to some of us, especially those of us who may have control issues or just have hard places that they've been through, and they don't want to give those pieces of their heart to the Lord. But what I want to tell you is that the Lord can handle your hard places. He can handle the dark places in your heart. He knows about them anyway. There's nothing that we have gone through, there's nothing that we have walked through that he does not know and is not big enough to walk through with us. And so, and he can handle tops also. He can handle the triumphs when we're just living our best lives. But all that is part of how God made us. The way that we encounter the world, the way that we experience the world and the people around us, that's part of how God made us, and that's part of how we're designed to worship. So have you heard of this thing called being baptized in the Spirit? Okay, so being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, what is that? It gets a little complicated sometimes in my mind. If I'm reading the scriptures, I've got to be like, okay, which one is that? And I'm not sure what that is. So I got to look at it. Like I said before, everyone is a follower of Jesus. You are filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. We are promised that. We have that to us. But what I want to invite you to consider this morning is that have you taken the opportunity to allow the Spirit to be the driver of your bus? That's what it means to be baptized in the Spirit. What does Carrie Underwood say? Jesus, take the wheel. Come on, I didn't know that was going to happen. That was for free, too. Who is the driver of the bus? Is it you? Or is it the Holy Spirit? I got to confess that a lot of times it's me. Okay? A lot of times it's me, but I desire so much for it to be the Holy Spirit at all times. And I hope one day that I will get there. You may be farther along the road than me. Maybe you're full-time cruise control with the Holy Spirit. I'm not quite there yet, but I hope to be, and I'm working on it. I think it's a journey to getting to that place where Jesus always has the wheel. I run the gas, but he's got the wheel. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, being filled with the Spirit is good, but it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to baptize in us. There's a thing that Pastor Andy at our other campus, he says, I'm going to see if I can get it right. He says, I'm going to butcher it. So, but the concept is, yes, the Spirit is in you, but are you in the Spirit? Yes, I've got God, but does God got me? Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? I want to invite you to consider that this morning. So Dallas, I'm really more of a Spirit guy. Or Dallas, I'm really more of a truth guy. What do I do? Well, it does not say worship in spirit or truth. It doesn't say that. It says worship in spirit and truth. So I want to invite you to consider if you are a crazy charismatic like me, and the spirit stuff comes more easy, then I want to invite you to dig into the truth of God's word, to look at the scriptures and to really understand what the Lord is saying to you, and to test those spirits, to test the charismatic unctions with the truth of the Spirit, right? If you're a truth, you're the man, I'm the truth guy. I love Jesus, but that's it. It's truth of God's word. I want to invite you to consider a life that is open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, a life that, while seemingly from one perspective might seem someone else driving the bus is scary, and sometimes it is, sometimes it's scary. But I want to invite you to consider allowing the Holy Spirit to drive your bus this morning. There's a guy that Pastor Josh quotes all the time named R.T. Kendall. And I brag about this a lot when Josh and I are talking about scripture and kind of our heroes and stuff like that. Once upon a time, I got to drive R.T. Kendall around this town and just show him all the sights. I did not know at that time how famous he was and what a big deal that was, but looking back on it now, it was probably like a top 15 day of my life. He bought my gas once. It was kind of fun. But literally, you forget sometimes that these people are real people. But this guy, he and some other friends came and did a conference at a church I used to serve at, and this guy is a pioneer of the faith. At that time, this was 15 years ago, I think he was 80 at that point, and so this dude is a solid pioneer of the faith. But he says this, he says, if we have the word, if we have the truth, without the Spirit, we dry up. If we have the Spirit without the word, we blow up. Let that sink in. But if we have the Word and the Spirit, we grow up. It's about balance, you guys. I'm not here to try to tell you that, man, you need to like just do some backflips in worship and sing all the songs and raise all your hands and moonwalk across the stage. I'm not here to tell you that. But I am here to tell you to be open to the Holy Spirit and to see what that looks like. To let the Spirit into that part of your heart and to open that part and to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you in His presence and to literally take the wheel and let the Spirit be guiding you. So if we just kind of talk through that quote, that's really what this whole thing is about, the ideas that are presented in that quote. The Word without the Spirit, what's that? It's dry and is not a deep faith. I mean, it's something, but it's not how it's intended. The Spirit without the Word, that gets you off in some crazy territory, jumping off bridges and doing weird stuff and making YouTube videos that are just weird. But the Word and the Spirit together, the truth and the Spirit, when you let this inform this and inform this, and then when you let the Spirit, your Spirit, commune with the Holy Spirit in a way that is just not just you being a carrier of the Holy Spirit, but of the way where you release your heart to be the vessel for the movement of the Holy Spirit. That's what Spirit and truth looks like. That's when that's a step in the maturing of a Christian, one who's following Jesus. So today I want to invite you to consider, maybe ask yourself, have I normally been a Spirit person or what am I? Am I a Word person? Well, I've always considered myself a Spirit person. But I hope that that is seen in the fruit that I give, the fruit that comes from my life. I hope that I am learning to become a Spirit and truth person. And that's my desire for you guys today, is that you would evaluate your life today and you would say, Lord, help me be someone who worships from the truth of your Word and that I dig deep into Scripture, but also help me to be a person that is open to the moving of the Holy Spirit within me and that guides me, that something just as simple as maybe pausing to lift my hands in worship or to sing out loud maybe for the first time or to serve to serve somehow in your church, to stop and help a person when they have a flat tire. I don't know. The Holy Spirit gets me to do some crazy things when I let Him drive, and it's awesome. It's so much fun to be able to be like, is that you, Lord? I think that's you. Well, I'm going to try it. A missionary that we support who's been part of our congregation here and at our other campus named Bear Mills. He has a podcast. He's an awesome dude. He and his wife Carol are serving in Houston right now, right in the midst of a Muslim community and just doing like boots on the ground kind of work. And this dude is like one of the most, you guys can go ahead and come on up, one of the most connected with the Holy Spirit people I've ever met. But what he'll do, so it's not weird for the people he's trying to share the gospel with or whatever, he'll say something like this. He'll be like, man, I've been just really trying to be more obedient in following Jesus. Would you allow me just to pray for you today? Would that be all right? I really feel like the Lord's asking me to do that. I don't want to be weird or anything like that, but I'm trying to learn how to be more obedient. And it's super disarming. It's not weird. It's not, and it helps the other person be at ease. I'm like, And honestly, like 99 times out of 100, anytime I've ever asked anyone if I could pray for them, even if they were to that point in time, even if they were angry towards the gospel, almost every time they're going to say yes. And it will allow you an opportunity to just, I want to encourage you to try to risk something. That reminded me, Joel, of one of our kingdom principles of being of risk, and that being a follower of Jesus is not safe, and he calls us to do things that are kind of scary sometimes if you let him drive. So let me pray. Father, we look to you this morning, and more than anything, Lord, we want you to drive, your Holy Spirit, to be the one that is guiding what we do, Father, more than anything. And so, Lord, as we just reflect on our life today, as we reflect on what you are doing in us, Lord, and through us, Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to begin to just knock on the doors of our heart and to invite us into a deepened faith, Lord, that is Spirit-led and truth-informed in a way that helps us to become more mature followers of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come in this place, speak to our hearts, show us where we can grow in those things, show us how that we can give you the wheel, how that we can be informed by the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, come and move in us and through us. And may you not only live inside us, but may we live inside you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.